Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, I was reading something in Buff Zone the other day just about, you know, some of the quotes from Mike Sanford talking about the NIL stuff a little bit, kind of almost pleading and saying, hey, we gotta kind of utilize this at some point. Kind of wanted to get to pick your brain a little bit about his comments about NIL and what CU plans to do in the future with that kind of stuff.
Well, and my initial reaction is Mike did exactly what he has to do. And then my personal reaction is it's kind of sad, isn't it? I mean, it really is. What we're looking at in college athletics, in my view, now the toothpaste is out of the tube, Brady.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. It's going to continue to be this, but it really is kind of sad that it's gotten to this point, and you and I have talked this issue over many, many times leading up to it and when it first began. The fact that, you know, I mean, look what's going on at Texas A&M right now. You've got a dumpster fire going on down there, despite the fact that they had the number one recruiting class in America. They were giving million-dollar contracts to each one of those student-athletes that signed a letter of intent to play there to make up that number one recruiting class. And now you're hearing about guys jumping into the transfer portal. I mean, it is so insane. I can't believe, you know, how this is affecting college athletics, but it is what it is. And so that's not a criticism of Mike or what C is doing. In fact, what C is doing is what you have to do with the Buffs for Life collective and moving forward. And so, you know, they're going to play the same game that you have to play to be competitive and to be running for everybody else around the country. And it is what it is. But my overall view of it and what it's doing to college athletics is kind of sad.
Yeah, and Mark, I'm torn with this one because locally I can see benefits. You know, we do some local stuff here, radio shows like that where we hear from the players. Some of those things I like, but I do believe there has to be a limit. There has to be a cap. It's absolutely insane seeing all these monster deals, and obviously it's just creating more friction between other players and teams and so on and so forth. We're seeing coaches argue about it now. So there's a limit, and this again is where I go 10, 15 years ago, I wish college athletics at that point in time, the NCAA would have said, hey, there's an iceberg ahead. We need to start planning this out now, what this looks like, so we don't run smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, they certainly have. And, you know, a friend of mine talked to a major college coach. I won't say what the name is, but a major college coach on a top 15 program, okay? And he said, what has it done to your locker room? And he says it's destroying the locker room, which is exactly what we knew it would, okay? The difference between this and why there is always this comparison made for those who are proponents of this, they always made the comparison, well, you know, they're doing it in the NFL. And I've said it before, no, 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 no. Don't make that mistake. That's not true. What they're doing in the NFL, you have a contract. You're an employee. And then endorsement deals are above and beyond. I used to, when I was with KOA, I used to negotiate those contracts, you know, for our agreements we had with players to do interviews with us. And that was just extra money. I'd walk in and hand somebody a $50,000 check, and you know, those guys are like, all right, man, I'm going to have a good weekend. That was their spending money. That's not what we're talking about here. This is an entirely different deal. So this coach is saying it's destroying the locker room and the integrity of the team internally. Now, how do you fix this? Where do you go from here? Well, I think ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to see the players get together and create some sort of a union. They're going to have a collective bargaining agreement with their conferences. Now, herein lies the danger. Gary and I were just kind of arguing about this in the booth the other day. If that happens in the SEC, and then it happens in the Big Ten, and it happens in the Pac-12, and the Big 12, and the ACC, and work your way on down the line. Now, each one of those collective bargaining situations is going to be different. So have we really taken care of the problem or alleviated the issue? No. What we've done, we've created another issue then. So the only way to really work their way through this is to make a college football player or athlete or student athlete union, and then they negotiate overall across the nation. Because if you do it conference by conference, you're going to have different amounts of money like we're seeing with the television deals. Players can be different. And so you're creating a similar type of issue. But at least when you do that then, what you've got then is a pay structure for these employees who happen to be college students, and then things will be somewhat normalized like it is in the National Football League. We understand then the superstar is going to get the big money like, a Peyton Manning award or an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, and then, you know, lesser guys, the backup punter is going to get something a little bit different, and everybody kind of understands that. And so, you know, that's where this is all going. There's no mistake about it. I've spent all along, Brady, what really bothers me about this is it's driven by greed and envy, and those used to be two of the seven deadly sins. Now they're looked at as virtues. And the fact that we have totally taken the value out of a $500,000 scholarship and say it's worth absolutely nothing to you, and they must be paid, and on and on and on, it's created this same issue. And so somehow the idea of me getting a college scholarship and getting money and getting academics and getting health care and mental health services and tutorial services and all these things, said I was, somebody told them they were being taken advantage of under the circumstances. Instead of having a free trade of, okay, I'll play for you, and then I get, you know, all these services and you get taken care of for my 4 or 5 years here, I get a degree. Instead of that being looked at as something of value, it was looked at as something not of value, and so that's where we are. That's why we are where we are right now. And so, you know, it's bothersome to me, but it is what it is, and there's nothing we're going to do about it at this point except for look for answers to figure this thing out and make it better.
And, Mark, what about, like, the Jeremy Bloom situation, too? You go back, you know, when he was an Olympic skier, too, and he, you know, obviously Olympics, the way you make money is endorsements, and that was obviously not allowed for him at that point in time. Do you look at that, though, and say there are instances where you could say, okay, it does make sense for NIL deals. We just can't abuse them. We can't go over the top. And that's certainly what's happening with some of these larger schools.
Well, but the question then becomes, it's your line of how much is enough, all right? And the answer to the side that's very much a proponent of this says, well, why are you going to put a cap on what I can make in a capitalist system? If I can make a $2 million deal as a college athlete, why are you going to cap that? Because when it comes to endorsement deals, I don't see how you do that. You can make a salary cap with, like they do in pro sports, if they were to unionize and have a collective bargaining agreement with the NCAA or college athletics or whatever it's going to look like, then you can put a salary cap in. But how do you tell somebody you can't benefit off your name, image, and likeness from a sponsorship or endorsement deal standpoint? I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can possibly put a limit on that and tell them that's the way it's got to be. And so, nobody tells Peyton Manning, who probably makes, you know, $50 million a year in endorsements, or Michael Jordan or whoever else. And so that's why this whole thing is such a mess. And the fact that the NCAA just kicked the can down the road and just, you know, they put on the blinders to pretend it wasn't happening. And they have allowed this to happen. And now it is this just disaster out there that is tearing college athletics apart from the inside out. And it's kind of sad. You know, and really, I wonder about these guys that jump into the portal, right? You're at Texas A&M. You've got a big deal. You really think you're going someplace else, they're automatically going to give you another $1 million deal? And then at what point does the donor or the business out there look at this and say, you know, I decided I was going to give, $75,000 to send student-athlete. Dude hasn't played a down all season long. What am I doing? Where's my value in this? Where's my return on investment? And so there's just a lot of this thing that becomes very messy in my view.
I think you're right. I mean, Mark, I'll be honest, we experienced something interesting with that last year. We had a CSU player that was doing a radio show with us. Great guy. But, you know, terrible situation for him with Adazio. So he transferred and kind of still wanted to do the radio show. And is like, that doesn't work. You're not a Ram anymore. So the business isn't going to, it's not that they don't love you and want to support you down the road, but they're not going to support you with their dollars if you're not a team that they're already kind of into.
Well, Brady, and this is the lesson that I've always had a problem with, but I think we're teaching some of these young men and young women. You know, this concept that, well, give me money. Well, why should I give you money? Well, I'm a member of this athletic team. Okay, I guess I'm a fan. Okay, I guess I can do that. And then they have this idea that, well, you're just going to give me money. And no matter where I go, I'm going to get money. And that's not the real world. That's not the way this works. Your endorsement deal is based on an affiliation with something that means something to me as a business owner or a donor, right? And when you're no longer part of that, that value is gone now. And so this idea that some of these young folks, and I've had some conversations with student athletes, and I walk away shaking my head because they're just of this mindset, well, just give me some money. Why? Well, because you should. Well, but why? Well, because that's what's happening in college athletics right now. And so what's going to happen when said young man or young woman graduates and they're looking out there going, well, why isn't nobody giving me money anymore? I should be getting something right now. I'm kind of special. Well, now you got to go and prove it again. And guess what? In the real world, when you get into business, when you're no longer in athletics, by the way, when you get into business, they just don't give you money just because of who you are. That becomes a very rare human being that gets to a point in life where we just decide to give you money because we think you're kind of special. Those are kind of unique human beings that don't come around very often. In the real world, you've got to earn it, and you have to do something for it. And that's why this is so problematic in my mind, where we're kind of the direction that it's gone, which is why I think ultimately it probably does end up having some sort of unionized deal. The players end up becoming, you know, employees, and, you know, they're affiliated with institutions, and you know, maybe that's the way this ultimately goes.
And that's I'm kind of with you on that, Mark. I feel like whether we like it or not, that might be where this thing heads. Mark, a couple of minutes left here. Just wanted to get your thoughts, too, on Kansas. They suspended Bill Self for 4 games. That was a part of this investigation, this FBI investigation that took forever. I mean, going back to what, 2017. But this is stuff you and I have talked about a lot, and why we like Tad Boyle so much, at least, you know, from what we know. There are so many coaches out there that are doing whatever is necessary, whatever they can possibly to do to get these stud players. And here's another example.
Well, and keep in mind, and for your listeners, I know that you know this, Brady, what we're talking about here, what allegedly happened was prior to NIL, okay?
Right.
So this is back in the under-the-table kind of days. And, you know, listen, any time an institution self-imposes, yeah, great, congratulations. You know, when I was a kid and, you know, and I broke the window for baseball, I didn't walk into the house and say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going to ground myself for the next 6 hours here because of what I just did out there. My dad would look at me and said, Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more than that, all right? When you self-impose, you're trying to get out in front of something. And maybe they kind of know something, coming down from the NCAA, but, you know, generally a self-imposed penalty does not fit the crime, so to speak, right? You're trying to get out in front of it and go, hey, I'm really sorry about this. Too bad on me. Look what I'm doing. Oh, poor me. I'm really kicking myself in the tail really hard here, and so you don't need to do anything to me. Right, that's kind of what they try to do in these circumstances. Now we'll see what the NCAA does. But then again, you know, Brady, at this point in time, what are you going to do for the NCAA? Hey, you gave some money to some players? Really? You're going to go and come down on Kansas or anybody else now for that when you're doing it nonstop around the country? I mean, how do you justify laying down a penalty on somebody for a crime that is now legal? Right?
Yeah. No, I and that's the thing. You know, kick the can. I love that phrase, kick the can. That's what the NCAA did 15, 20 years ago. Yep. And now all of this stuff is blowing up in their face. And who knows? But I think we've said this a lot, Mark, that I think college sports as we know it eventually will change into something completely different.
Yep. No, I think so. It's heading in that direction. Sometimes the sport, if you will, drives me crazy, but I still love the games and love the personalities, love the kids, love the, you know, Saturday afternoons and the Friday nights or whatever it is. And so that's why I still love college athletics. But there are things about it that are happening. And the adults in the room are the ones that have allowed it to happen for a long period of time. And so I'm not blaming the student athletes out there. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting, Mark. Hey, I'm excited. We've got to see you hoops. Just a matter of days now. We had an exhibition type game over the weekend, a charity exhibition, which we talked about last week. And now we're getting ready to see some regular season action. So I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, we did the broadcast on Sunday, and good looking team, Tascot. I mean, a very different team, very team. But yeah, going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to chatting basketball with you here in the near future.
All right, my man. Mark, always appreciate it. I love these conversations, too. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Ready? Bye.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:51 the time. Just how good will the Buffs be? And the Cowboys, and the Rams, and the Bears. Who are the studs for each team? Let's talk about it in a moment. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.